in the Redeemer. And I think about the truth that we have in this salvation, and that it was unto us. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, that angel was speaking to the shepherds. But may I tell you, it's still for us today. For unto you is born. Boy, I'm thankful that he came. He didn't come for himself. He didn't come just for those shepherds. He came for me, and he came for you. The very reason that he came was so that he could die. I'm always reminded of Genesis chapter number 22, and I always think about verse number 8. And I see Abraham and Isaac walking up Mount Moriah. And I see them as they're going up. And Isaac had said, Dad, you know, I'm carrying the wood. And Dad, I see the fire. And Dad, I see the knife, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham had answered that the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice, a lamb for the sacrifice. And boy, I'm thankful that God did provide himself a lamb. Not only did he provide himself as the lamb, he provided the lamb that we needed. And boy, I'm thankful I'm not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversation and the traditions of man. But instead, I am saved. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But then what? Salvation. Now what? What takes place after salvation? What's going to happen? Well, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, now what? Now what? Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And there's many that would say, well, you know, preacher, this is speaking about predestination. No, God had determined all those that are going to be saved are going to be in the image of his Son. Now, none of us are there. He's still working on every one of us. Every one of us have growth in our life to take place. We were talking Wednesday night there at church, and I know we wasn't able to be on YouTube at the time, but we were talking Wednesday night, and I remember the brother that had mentioned it, but I'm not going to mention his name on here. But he said, boy, I thought I was doing good, and then I find there's so much more. May I tell you, every one of us need to be in that place. Oh, we think that we're doing good, but there's so much more God wants to do. There's so much more that we can come and we can grow closer to him. And so I'd ask you to take your Bibles. Now, hold your place in Luke. We're coming right back. But take your Bibles. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I know you're going to go, preacher, not that passage again. It'll be all right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And look at verse number 14. Can I ask you what closeness you have with God? And I wonder who it is that really limits our closeness to God. May I tell you, it's not God. It's us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, if we were to start at verse number 14, he says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What in the world, what part do we have with any of them? Listen, I want God's part. I don't want this world's part. And so I look as well. He goes on in verse 16. He says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Boy, wouldn't that be great if we really were a godly nation? Wouldn't it be great if we really were a godly church? And we just went ahead and said, you know what? I want God to walk in me, and I want him to be my God, and I want to be his people. And he says in verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so God has a desire for us. He has a purpose for us. He's given us a new life. And so I look here at the product of the Redeemer. I am a product of the Redeemer, of being redeemed. God's just doing a work in me. Now, I want to bring you the definition here of the word product. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I already know it. Just hear me out a minute. A thing or person that is a result of an action or process. You know, the moment I got saved, God began a process in me. but I'm saved because of an action of His, an action of Calvary. And so I want us to look, and I told you to hold your songbook close to you. Turn over to page 194. 194. I was praying about this message, and I've had it. I've had the title, I've had the text written down, and some of the points written down for almost a month. And God, had, as I was just meditating on it this week, and God just kind of brought this song into my heart. And I want to share it with you. Some of you know it, and if you know it, sing along. I'm just going to sing the first verse and the chorus. But I want us to picture this in our mind. And this is really, you can look through the rest of these verses. Man, they are great. Great truths in them, because there's a change that happened since Jesus came into my heart. Now listen to this. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for the long which I long for I sought. I'm sorry, let me start over. What a change in my life has been. I'll get it right in a minute. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for the which I sought, I'm sorry, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I butchered that up, but you understand what I'm singing. I don't know why I can't get it right now. I guess because I've been preaching and then you don't go back to singing. I don't know. But that's where we are. Since Jesus came into my heart, it should we have floods of joy o'er my soul. Floods of joy that have taken place, floods of joy that God's given us. And there's just a work that's begun. Back over in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, we find the product of the Redeemer. Notice this, they became a witness. They became a witness. Look at verse number 17 and 18. The Bible says, and when they had seen it, this is speaking of, don't think that Christ is an it. This is not the it. Jesus is not an it. What it is they had seen the sign. Back over here in verse number 12, it says, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They seen the sign. They seen this is the Messiah. They seen that this is the confirmation. And when they seen that, they accepted it. And they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, what I find here is they reported the truth that they knew. They reported the truth that they knew. So many times we use the excuse of I don't know enough in order to tell someone. Boy, I know that I'm saved, and I know down deep in my heart that I'm saved, but I just couldn't tell someone else how to be saved. Listen to me, child of God, if you know that you're saved, you know how to tell someone else to be saved. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And they reported about the one they had received. And they reported and they said that, look, the angels told us this was going to be the sign. We got there. This was the sign. This is the babe. This is the Redeemer. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one. This is Emmanuel, God in the flesh. This is Jesus, the one that's came to redeem us of our sins. And so I look here and I think about how great this message is. I think about how true we need to hold on to this. I know you say, preacher, I don't have all of this Bible knowledge, and I'm just learning and I'm just going. They didn't wait for their degree. They had just met the Redeemer, and what'd they do? They went out and told everyone, I just met the Redeemer. Hey, everything that was told to me was true. It was exactly the way. I know when people invite someone to church, they're going, boy, you know, that just doesn't sound like a good time. Oh, it is when you hear about the Redeemer. It is when you hear about there's only one way to be saved, and we know that way, and boy, he wants to save you today. That's good news. Why do you think it's called gospel? It means good news. They weren't taking bad news. But yet we turn on the TV so that we can listen to bad news all the time. Instead, they had good news to report. And so take your Bibles, go back over, hold your place in Luke, turn over to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I want you to look at this. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 11. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 11. I'll give you some time to get there. As I think about what God's doing there, I can't help but think about the truth of the gospel. You see, we were just like the stinky shepherds. We weren't able to go to the palace. We weren't clean. Oh, by the way, we were considered Gentile dogs. And yet, I have a Savior that came in, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And boy, what word, what good message I have, what good news I have. Notice what he's done. He's taken this good message and he's given it to us so that we can share it with others. They became a witness right off the bat. The moment that they got saved, they said, hey, I got something so good I can't keep it in. I can see them just like those angels, that multitude of angels that were waiting. And they're being told, those shepherds are being told, we presume or assume that it was Gabriel speaking to them. He was that messenger, if you would, that told and announced Christ's birth, the conception to Mary, spoke to Joseph. And boy, I just think about Gabriel here as he's there, and he's got his multitude of heavenly hosts with him, and they're all around, and they're hearing, and boy, they just can't contain it anymore. I see those shepherds leaving the very same way. They're like, hold on a second. I've got to tell someone. I've got this bubbling up in me. I've got to let someone know that there's a Savior that loves them, that he's died for them. Oh, I got to tell them. And so I look here at 1 Timothy. I'm glad we can. Look at verse number, or chapter 1, look at verse 11. According to the glorious gospel, it's still glorious today. He says, according to the glorious gospel and the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. May I tell you that the Apostle Paul's not the only one that the truth of the gospel's been committed to? It's been committed to the church. It's not Billy Graham's commitment. It's not Joel Osteen's commitment. It's not all of these others that want an individual name. No, it was committed to the church. The commission is to the church. It's not the pastor that it's been committed to. No, it's the entire church that the gospel of truth has been committed to. And so we find here, look at verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. May I tell you that the enabling that we have, the ability that we have to go tell someone, oh, by the way, this wasn't something that we can do. We need the enabling of Christ. And you say, preacher, I just don't have that. Oh, you do. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And the Holy Spirit came and he lives in you. And now he has enabled you that you can go out and tell others. He says, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I know you're going to go, preacher, I'm not in the ministry. That's you. No, hold on a second. If you're saved, you're in the ministry to tell others about the gospel. He goes on and he says, who was before a blasphemer? I was a stinky shepherd. And a prosecutor? Yep. I was injurious, but obtained mercy. Is that not all of us? Is that not anyone that's been lost and then found? Is that not someone who was a sinner and now we're saved? That's every one of us. We were a blasphemer. We were a persecutor. We were injurious. And I obtained mercy. He says, because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And I know that we could take and we understand the interpretation. He's speaking about the fact that he persecuted the church, thinking he was doing it for the great of God. But may I tell you that as a lost man, we still obtain mercy. not necessarily because of ignorance, but because that's our God. He's always merciful. And so I go on. He says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Exceeding abundant. Isn't that great? That's the news that we have. That's what we can tell others. Look, I know it's rough. 2021, don't fool yourself. It's not going to be better. I'm not saying that we're not going to see the end of COVID. I'm not saying that we're going to be in quarantine. I don't know. But I know sin isn't going to get any better. I know the lost aren't going to become less. I know that when babies are born, they're still going to be sinners. And they still need a Savior. And that's where we need to become a witness. Why? Because I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. And so I automatically am going to become a witness. Notice this. I find in verses 17 and 18 as well that they were busy in their Lord's work. They were busy in their Lord's work. Look at verse number 17. And when they had seen it, how long did they wait? They didn't. They didn't. They didn't wait at all. They didn't. They just got busy. It was time. Hey, listen, time's a wasting. One of the parts that bothers me so much about all of this is we don't have the bus running. One of the parts that bothers me with all this, we haven't been out in a tent all year. And one of the parts that bothers me is I'm not going door to door. One of the parts that bothers me about all this COVID and all this fear that's going on is there's still souls that need to hear. And we need to be busy. We need to be letting folks know. And yes, I'm using every opportunity that I have. I'm using every opportunity of someone in front of me that I can tell them and that I can let them know. But are we really busy in the Lord's work? I find this as well. It goes on and it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so, notice this. They had a reason. I find in verse number 16 that they had a reason to be busy about the Lord's work. The reason was that they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They had a reason at the very beginning of verse number 17. And when they had seen it, they seen it was exactly the way God said. May I tell you that there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? That it's still exactly the way God said it's going to be? I know that this world lies and this world tells you, Satan wants you to believe that lie, that all people, listen, we're all going to end up together. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. There's no way that Christ is going to come and die, and then if you choose to reject him, he's going to save you anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. He wants you to choose. And he's given you the opportunity to choose. And I have a reason. I have a reason to be busy about my Lord's work. They had seen and received the Redeemer. May I tell you, I've seen and I've received the Redeemer. And I know you're going to say, Preacher, you haven't seen him, but I have through the eyes of faith. I have through the eyes of faith. May I tell you that this was a natural reaction for them? The Bible tells us here in verse number 17 that because this took place in their heart, it was just natural for them to go and tell others. Nowhere in this account were they commanded. Jesus was a babe. He did not tell them to go ye into all the world and tell every creature. He didn't command them nothing. No, this was just a natural reaction to them. Should it not be a natural reaction? Isn't it sad to think that we've got, well, God's told us to, so we're going to go out there. We're going to knock on some doors. Oh, God's told us to, so we're going to come to church. Oh, God's told us. No, this was natural to them. They said, boy, we found something too good to keep to ourselves. We got to let them know. We got to tell others. And this was natural. So they had a reason. But then I find as well that they had no restraint. They were busy in the Lord's work. They had a reason. And they had no restraint. There was nothing holding them back. Notice this. Verse number 17, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Now, I just automatically think of that word abroad, and I realize that they had no boundaries. They didn't stop. Can I remind you of what time of day this was? Can I remind you that the angels came to them in the night? They had came to Bethlehem, and it was at the night. At very best, it would have been early morning when they had left the house, and they go out and they begin to tell everyone. They begin to broadcast it. They begin to let others know. Now, I had already pictured in my mind that we were going to be at the church, and I had really thought about opening the side door there by the platform and opening that door and running out and yelling it all the way around the church and then come back in the door. And I know some of you say, "Preacher, could you do that run?" I don't know. I might be winded afterwards, but boy, I'm telling you, that's what happened. They came out of that house just a hollering the fact that there's a Redeemer. Everything that God's told us is true. My dear friend, we say we believe the King James Bible. We say that we believe that this is the Word of God. We say that we believe that that it's true and that there's no flaws in it, and that it's the inerrant and it's perfect and it's pure and it's the only Bible. And yet, we don't proclaim it. I find here that they had no restraint. They went out of their way. They didn't wait for a convenient time. They went door to door. They weren't discouraged in a response. Do you think that some people wouldn't have said, "All right, simmer down, it's late or it's early"? Or don't you think some people were disturbed at how holy they acted? And boy, you're just trying to judge us. We go to the synagogue. We tithe. Can you not hear them just like that Pharisee in Luke chapter number 18? When they would say, "I'm glad I'm not like that publican." Don't you think that some of them said, "Look, you're a shepherd. I am above you." They weren't discouraged. I find that they were just as excited as the angels. That was a heavenly host, a multitude of heavenly hosts. I don't know how many shepherds were there. The Bible doesn't tell us that if it was 2 or 200. All I know is that I know how they left. They wasted no time. They made it known abroad. I can see them right now. "Hey, look, you take this street, I'll take that street. Let's just go tell them. Let's just broadcast this out." Boy, we've went and canvassed some areas for the tent meetings. We knew that we couldn't just knock every door out there. So what we would do is leapfrog. We'd take a street and we could work some streets together and we'd leapfrog them. And boy, we could get some things done. Can't you see these shepherds going, "Hey, on our way back, let's tell everyone that we can possibly see." And someone would have said, "What about the ones we don't see?" Well, let's just say it loud enough they can hear us. Let's blow the trumpet, folks. Let's let some people know. This modern day Christianity, it's not about having a hangout group. It's not about being able to feel good about yourself and your habits. No, it's time to put our habits up and start living holy. And so I find here that they had results. They did have results. As they got busy, as they were busy in the Lord's work, may I tell you, I don't know. I think we're up to 133, 134. I don't know if I can pull it up right now or not. I'm not going to try. I've got 133 or 134 people that have subscribed to the page, our YouTube channel. And I need 1,000. I don't know who the 133 are. We were talking Wednesday night. I know that our family has several of them. I have a page. Our personal farm has a page. Has a email, so they're on here. Sister Sarah's got an email, so she's on here. Jacob's got an email, so he's on here. I might have to start Jeremiah an email so that we can have 135. I don't know. But I don't know who they all are. I noticed on our website, and I'll look later on our website, but I guess it was last Tuesday when I had put the sermons on, we've had 125,000 visits on our website. 125,000 visits. If you go to our YouTube page, our YouTube channel, and you look at the About, we've had over 6,000 people read who we are. I don't know who we reach. I just know doing the work of the Lord and being busy in the work of the Lord, it's guaranteed results because it's guaranteed by God. He told us that we reap what we sow. And so I look here and I find, and you say, "Preacher, I don't see where they really reached anyone." Look back at verse number 18. "And all they that heard it," heard what? Heard the shepherds. Heard what the shepherds were saying. They heard the message. They heard the gospel. What happened? They wondered. You say, "Preacher, how's that result?" In Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. And he tells them that the sower goes out and he sows the seed. And some falls on the wayside. And some falls in the stony ground. Some falls in among the thorns. And some falls on good soil. May I tell you, we're not here to determine the soil. We're just here to get busy sowing. There's some that's going to sprout up and they're not going to have any roots to them, and they're going to wither as soon as the persecution comes. The first time someone calls you a holy roller, you're going to go, "I'm done with this." There's some that's going to get choked out by the cares of the world. I told you once COVID started, we're in danger. Because there's going to be some that are not going to continue. But I'm thankful that of those that wondered, I know just from man that there was fruit from that. There were some that wondered to salvation. Not wondered aimlessly, but wondered enough to see if what they said was true. Aren't you glad for a God that doesn't want you to get saved blind? He wants you to get saved through faith. And faith is not believing in what I don't see. Faith is believing in what God's proven to be real. So, "Preacher, how do you get that?" Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My dear friend, it takes me no faith at all to believe that God created us. Because I can see it. We're made in His image. Aren't you glad? Notice this. They were bounding in their new walk. They were bounding in their new walk. Verse number 20, if you would. The shepherds returned. They returned. But they didn't return the same. They had just seen this great joy. You know what they grabbed a hold of? That great joy. And so I look here and I find that they had returned glorifying God, or glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so I look here and I find that they were bounding in their new walk. They were walking in the light of the Lord. The angels had came to them in the night. May I tell you where we are today? We're in the darkest hours. I truly believe we're in the midnight hours. It's only a matter of time. Christ is coming back for the church. Tribulation's going to begin. But listen, we need to proclaim that message today. Jesus saves. Because there's still a darkness out there. The angels came to them at night, and they turned their night into day. You see, that lamb that they seen, that lamb that was in that manger, that they knew all about lambs. They were sheep experts. He was the light of the world. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so, I look here, we don't have to walk in darkness. The darkness of this world, the darkness that's going on right now. We don't have to walk in that. We don't have to walk in a time of depression and darkness and discouragement. Listen, Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. That means that we used to be, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now, that's present, are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Why? Because I don't have to walk in darkness. I don't have to follow after darkness. I can follow the light. How were they returning back? I don't know what time of day it was by the time they started going back. I guarantee you they had some time telling some people. And by the way, I don't mean to go back on what I was just saying and go back to it, but if I can have an alibi there, it's great. When you start telling people about the Lord, you want to tell more. I can see that first one as he comes up and that shepherd's telling someone for the first time. And they're like, really? I'd like to know more about that. And the shepherd's looking for the next person that's going to say, really? I'd like to know more about that. And so I look here and I find that they were motivated by the love of the Lord. How did they go back? Well, they returned, but they were walking in the light. And then I find that they were motivated by the love of the Lord. Can I tell you what they seen in the manger? They seen God in the flesh. I don't know where you stand on this, but I don't even know that they knew everything that Jesus had come to do. As Jews, they knew that there was a promised child. They knew that there was a son that had been promised to be given. They knew that the kingdom rested upon his shoulders. I don't know that they understood that he was the lamb that was sent to die. But they did know the love of God was lying in that manger. My dear friend, as a child of God, knowing, now hindsight's always 20/20. And may I tell you that what we should see today is because laying in that manger on that night was the sacrifice that was going to die for all mankind. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse number 2, it says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us, or given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I don't know that they understood all of that, but I know I do. How should we walk today? Motivated by the love of God, motivated by the love of Christ, knowing that nothing can separate us, knowing that if God's for us, who can be against us? I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14 and 15. And the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means grabs a hold of. That word constraineth means doesn't let go. And the love of Christ is what's grabbed a hold of me. We know in 1 John 4 and verse number 19, for we love him because he first loved us. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, my dear friend, what a Savior. What a Savior. May I tell you, he's doing a work in me. He's doing a work. And he wants to do a work in you. It's just a natural work. I've had some folks that I've witnessed to that have known me personally, and they've told me, they've said, preacher, we can't live like you live. And you know what? They're absolutely right. Because I can't live like I live. my old flesh does not want to live like this. My old flesh is against it. But there's a spirit inside of me that's doing a work to where that old flesh doesn't have to have the victory. Oh, my dear friend, there's a product that's made when we're redeemed. It's a process from an action. Oh, I'm thankful he's patient. You say, preacher, are you perfect? Absolutely not. But I sure want to be more like him. I sure hope you do too. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I thank you for being patient with me, Lord. For loving me in spite of me. For wanting to grow in me, Lord. Father, I sure want you to grow more. Father, I sure want to decrease that you can increase. Lord, would you help us today that we'd all set our minds that direction, that we'd all come to that place that we'd want to give our lives to you in such a manner that you'd just produce a greater product. Lord, that we would all walk away singing, since Jesus came into my heart, there's been this change. Lord, it's just a natural change because you've taken up residency. Help us today, Lord, to let you have your place. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us. We will be back live 6 o'clock tonight, of course, from YouTube only. And pray for us now. Pray Jeremiah gets feeling better. I'd love to. We need to be back in church Wednesday night. And revival starts next Sunday. So we'll run from the 3rd all the way through the 15th. And the Saturday in between, I'll give Brother Danny a break to give his voice a break. That's a lot of preaching really, really quick without having a break. So I do try to give him that Saturday to recoup. And not to mention, preaching takes it out of you, folks. Even though I've been sitting here preaching, I'm exhausted. It will wear you out. When the Holy Spirit has his way in your life, it will wear you slap out. And I appreciate it. I ask you to join in, to tune in. If you're out, Brother Ridings, love to have you join us for the revival. It is great. I'm telling you, I've watched God do amazing things through this first 2 weeks of the year. And encourage others. Please promote the YouTube page. Let them know. And I know y'all have been, but continue. Let others know and let them know about the revival. Put it on your Facebook. Let others know to tune in. And I will put it online. And I hope, let me know now if you want to put it in the comments or if you want to say it here real quick or even say it tonight in the chat. Let me know what you thought about how the streaming went. So far, it seems to connect well. And I am able to be on. I haven't seen any interruptions. I am running off my Wi-Fi at the house so that I can keep my data on the phone. I don't want to waste it so that we'll have it for next week. So, Lord willing, we'll have everything up and going. So good to see y'all, and hope you have a good rest of the day. Join in with us 6 o'clock tonight. Brother Stephen said it went good. Ran flawlessly. He didn't say. Brother James, Sister Eder are still here with me. Brother James, Sister Eder, are you with us? Good deal. Thank you, brother. Yeah, saying that we had 21. Sister Sarah, who was that that had called?
It was a lady that had... from here in Pembroke, she drove by the church and was wanting to know if we were having in-house services. And she said, yes, just not today. She was going to get on the YouTube.
Good deal. So that'd be a blessing.
What was Brother Allen for Chris Wiggins?
Yeah, Brother Allen said pray for Chris Wiggins. He has COVID and not doing well.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, Chris Wiggins, not doing well. Yes.
I think he's a postal.